Good morning, Chairman and fellow members of the Commission and Secretary Hepler. Mark Norton, Hunting Access and Farm Bill Coordinator with Game, Fish, and Parks. Thank you for allowing me to present an update to the Farm Bill to you today rather than at the end of yesterday. Hopefully we can cover it more thoroughly. It was about 12 months ago, actually, I last talked to the Commission about the Farm Bill and the status. At that time, we were waiting for, anticipating the passage of a new Farm Bill. And you guys were very interested, just as you are today, in habitat and the value of the Farm Bill provides to South Dakota for habitat on private land. After, or one of the action items the Commission took after that presentation was submitting a letter to Senator Rounds, Senator Thune, and at then time Congresswoman Noem with some priorities that you felt should be included in the 2018 Farm Bill. Just a quick summary of those. One was to increase the national acreage enrollment cap for the Conservation Reserve program and also increase or improve the management options for lands enrolled in the Conservation Reserve program. Also increase the funding and provide more flexibility for the agricultural conservation easement program. Maintain and fully implement the conservation compliance and sod saver provisions. And reauthorize the voluntary public access and habitat incentive program and increase the funding to $150 million from $40 million that was in the previous Farm Bill. On December 20th, 2018, the 2018 Farm Bill was signed into law. So about 11 months after I last talked to you, the President signed the Farm Bill into law, which was great progress. Many times Farm Bills don't get renewed or re-signed the same year that they expire. That one expired the previous Farm Bill expired September 30th of 2018. The conservation title of the Farm Bill maintained its overall funding within the Farm Bill. It didn't take any cuts out of it. Money was redistributed to different programs, but overall there was no cuts, and there's still roughly $6 billion per year of funding in the conservation title of the Farm Bill. Conservation compliance provisions were maintained. Sod Saver was also maintained with an added requirement that USDA report the number of native sod acres, so native prairie acres, that are converted to crop ground annually starting in January of 2020. They also increased funding and reauthorized voluntary public access and habitat incentive program. The increase in funding was to $50 million, $100 million short of our ask. of $150 million, but nonetheless important that the program was reauthorized and more funding provided for it. The elephant in the room of the Farm Bill is obviously the Conservation Reserve Program. There was a lot of talk nationwide about increasing that enrollment cap, the national acreage enrollment cap, with many different asks of different suggestions for what that acreage cap should be increased to. The Farm Bill came down to an increase to 27 million acres from 24 million acres. So an increase of 3 million acres overall. And I wanted to explain to you the details of how that increase will occur. You can see on that column on the right, that's a kind of the stair step up. It'll gradually increase over the next 5 years to 27 million acres. A new requirement of that increase is that a minimum portion of those acreage has to be enrolled in the Grasslands Conservation Reserve Program. Now, that's a working grasslands type of CRP. It was created in the 2014 Farm Bill. In most cases, at least in South Dakota, this is existing grassland rangeland. It can be native rangeland. It can be cool season, non-native rangeland. But in most cases, it's not crop ground put into grassland cover. So it's different than what most people think of when they think of CRP. And because of that minimum, it also somewhat limits the amount of what of general and continuous CRP, which is what most people think of when they think of CRP. Crop ground that was put into a short-term retirement program that hasn't been established to, in South Dakota at least, most of the time, grassland and wetland habitat. So because of that minimum requirement, which stair steps up a little bit the next three years, it limits the amount of general and continuous that can be enrolled in the country to 23 million acres. In the fourth year, that increases by another 500,000, and the final year, a year and a half. So there's an artificial cap of 25 million acres of general and continuous CRP by 2023. If less acres than those minimums are enrolled in grassland CRP, they cannot be enrolled in general or continuous. And if more acres than that minimum are enrolled in grassland CRP, that means there'll be less acres allowed to be enrolled in general or continuous CRP. Now, some of this was done to allow for an increase overall because they maintained funding within the conservation title, and within CRP, they maintained the amount of funding that was there for CRP, and so they're finding different ways to increase the acreage cap but reduce costs. And one aspect of the grassland CRP is the rental rates on that are 75% of the average grazing rental rate in a county. So it's much lower than the average cash rent rate for cropland in a county. So they could increase the acreage there and keep the cost down on more acres of CRP. To give you an update on the status of where we are, the most recent report from the Farm Service Agency in October of 2018 showed there was 22.5 million acres of CRP in the whole country. 1 million of those are currently enrolled in the grassland CRP. South Dakota has 1.15 million acres of CRP, and about over 142,000 acres are grassland CRP. I show you now the expiration schedule for acres that will be, their contracts will be expiring over the next 5 years. You can see in year 2020, 4.4 million acres will be expiring in the whole country, and about 171,000 acres expiring in South Dakota. Due to that kind of maintained cap of 23 million of general and continuous, I think we can expect to see, as far as action on new land going into CRP, it'll be strongly tied to those acres that are expiring out of the program. And they will be competing to re-enroll with other interests that would like to put crop ground into CRP. So it'll be a pretty competitive process the next 3 years to get land into the CRP program. And then in those final couple years, there may be more room for new land to get placed into CRP. They made many other changes to the CRP program in this farm bill. A way to pay for the increased acres was to reduce the, or to cap, to limit the annual rental rates to 85% of the county average for a general CRP offer and 90% for a continuous CRP offer. They do also require that annual rental rates are now updated annually. So they should be more closer to what cash rent is year to year. They also require that a general sign-up now be held at least once a year. If you remember, in the last 5 years, there was only two general sign-ups held over 5 years, and there was a lot of demand on the on the landscape for CRP, but not a lot of opportunities to enroll it. So now there will be, at least there'll be a sign up for it. It like I said, it'll likely be very competitive, but at least they have an opportunity to sign up for CRP. And then these next few bullets kind of get to the added management that we asked for in the letter, more flexibility to management of existing cover in CRP. Grazing will now be allowed as a mid-contract management practice. Before, that was not allowed, which seems odd for a state like South Dakota, where livestock are such a large component of our existence. Grazing will also now be allowed every other year with a 25% rental rate reduction. Grazing can also be done during the primary nesting season, which in South Dakota is May 1st through August 1st at a 50% stocking rate. So they can graze during the primary nesting season, but about half as many cows they can put out there as they would under a normal thing. And I should caveat the grazing thing. They still have to be done with a grazing management plan that takes into consideration the purposes of CRP. So it has to still meet the environmental concerns. It still has to provide wildlife habitat. So it's not going to be as extreme as many people may think grazing could be. It will be highly managed grazing. Haying will also be allowed on up to 3/4 of a CRP field outside the primary nesting season once every 3 years with that 25% rental rate reduction. So they're allowing more use and reducing the rental rate payments for that use and for the producers to actually utilize the forage that they would be taking. In the past, especially for mid-contract management, if it was hayed, they would have to burn the hay. They couldn't sell the hay. They couldn't feed it to their own livestock. They couldn't give it to the neighbors. It was crazy. So these things will make hopefully end that practice. And there's also now cost share authorized for fence and water development to help support make these added allowances possible. They also established a pilot program to allow water quality CRP practices to be re-enrolled into 30-year contracts. Now in South Dakota, these would be things like our wetland practices, our duck nesting habitat, practices like that would be eligible as they come up for expiration in the next 5 years to be re-enrolled into a 30-year contract instead of just a 10 to 15-year contract. Another pilot program under the CRP program that was largely championed by Senator Thune was the Soil Health Income and Protection Program. And this is a 50,000 acre. They made an allowance, so this would be part of that national acreage cap as well. 50,000 of that can go to this program, and they targeted it within the Prairie Pothole region of the country, which eastern South Dakota is part of. This program allows producers to enroll 15% of their least productive ground into perennial cover without providing any cost share. They are 3 to 5 year contracts. So these are short term contracts. They're regular CRP are 10 to 15 year contracts. This will allow somebody to idle those least productive lands 3 to 5 years, so much shorter. But they can also hay and graze them with a 25% rental rate reduction. So very similar to what the regular CRP can do, that rental rate reduction if you utilize the cover. Another pretty big conservation program receives a lot of funding in South Dakota. Usually gets $10 to $15 million a year to the state to do the Environmental Quality Incentive Program. This program was reauthorized and funding was increased by roughly $425 million over the next 5 years. Another change they made to this program was they increased the minimum amount of funding that is expended through that program that goes to wildlife habitat from 5% to 10%. So as I said, say we get $10 million like we've got the last couple of years, we were getting $500,000 that could go towards wildlife habitat. Now that could be $1 million, and with the increased funding over the life of the next farm bill, that $1 million could be greater than $1 million that program has to spend on improving wildlife habitat. The Ag Conservation Easement Program, the funding was restored up to $450 million from $225 million. So a doubling in the funding that was there in the last year of the 2014 Farm Bill. Previously, it averaged about $450 million the previous 4 years of the 2014 Farm Bill. So it restored that to previous levels of funding, which in South Dakota, most of the easements that are acquired with this program are wetland reserve easements. So they're targeting wetlands and the surrounding upland areas. And we would have, with $450 million, we got about 17 easements a year we could fund. This last year, they only funded six with that decrease. So you can see it's a substantial change between that level of funding. So hopefully we'll be able to maybe push that 15 to 20 easements per year again through that program. It also broadened what is allowed as non-federal match for ag land easements. Now, ag land easements are the working lands easement side of this program. In most cases, it's ranch land that's maybe near municipalities that is threatened to be converted or developed, things like that. That's where these easements come in. The increase in non-federal match will now allow landowners, if they choose to, they can donate the value of the thing, and the easement program will cover 50% of the thing. So they're much different type of easement than a wetland reserve easement, where wetland reserve easements, USDA completely funds the easement and holds the easements. Ag land easements, a non-federal partner holds the easement, and USDA just provides half of the value of the easement to that partner to then purchase the easement. Another program that was created by the 2014 Farm Bill is the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. And this program was created to stimulate partnerships to provide conservation to the country. And they increased the funding for this program. They tripled it from $100 million a year to $300 million a year. Traditionally, it utilized those other existing programs we talked about, the easement program or the EQIP program, to use partner money to do similar types of conservation. They've added CRP now as a eligible program that can be delivered through this partnership program. So this may be an opportunity where the state or other partners can come together and apply for funding for this to increase the amount of habitat that a CRP-like program could provide. And like I said, it was created in the 2014 Farm Bill. There was a lot of growing pains with it as a new program. They've learned a lot in those first 5 years, and they've increased the flexibility with this Farm Bill to make it easier for partners to deliver and work together without being caught up on USDA rules or specs or regulations, things like that. So it'll be more flexible to put the shared goal of conservation on the ground without going through as much red tape, I guess is one way to put it. So that gets us to, how is this going to be implemented? Well, right now, after a Farm Bill is passed, there's always a period of time where new rules and regulations are written on how these changes are going to be administered, delivered through the United States Department of Agriculture, and they're primarily delivered by the Natural Resources Conservation Service and the Farm Service Agency. As you know, the government's having some shutdown issues right now, and so the Farm Service Agency isn't working right now. NRCS has been working. I don't know. I've heard their funding may run out in another week or so, but that may slow down the rulemaking process a little bit on getting these new changes ready to go. The Game Fish and Parks will work with our other conservation partners to submit comment, work with USDA to help them write those rules to be as beneficial to wildlife habitat in South Dakota as possible. We'll likely apply for more funding through that voluntary public access and habitat incentive program. If you remember from my presentation last month about our access programs, we've used over $2.4 million of that funding to incentivize landowners with CRP to place that land into the walk-in area program. So it's been a very important, impactful program for South Dakota. And we may partner in a regional conservation partnership program proposal and program going forward. Some of the ideas have to go towards the every acre counts or some of the working land short-term type things to put some of those marginal acres into conservation cover, but still allowing use similar to that soil health and income protection program. And we'll also, as we have done for years, continue to promote the conservation programs of the Farm Bill to landowners, make them aware of the changes, what they need to do, when the signups are, who they need to talk to, and a large part also goes into the Habitat Pays campaign, and why that exists is because of all of the options that are out there with most of that funding coming through the Farm Bill. If I didn't say it at the beginning of the talk, I should remind you that the Farm Bill traditionally has brought over $100 million worth of funding to conservation that benefits wildlife habitat in South Dakota per year. It's a pretty big pot of money when you consider our wildlife division's budget is about $5 million per year for wildlife habitat on private land. So it is a big deal. The Farm Bill is a huge funding source for wildlife habitat in South Dakota. With that, I'll take any questions you may have.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Peterson.
Commissioner Peterson, would you tell me those numbers again that you just said at the end?
Sure. The $100 million is provided to South Dakota landowners from Farm Bill conservation programs per year. In comparison to the Wildlife Division's habitat budget, it's about $5 million per year for wildlife habitat and private land.
Yeah. It's really wonderful that the Farm Bill got funded again and everything for everyone.
Absolutely.
Habitat, farmers working for habitat and for other good reasons. So thank you.
Thank you.
So Mark, then part of the effort will be to look at the new Farm Bill and figure out how we can plan or contribute to the new habitat focus that the governor spoke about, right? I mean, there'll be a specific effort plan that somebody in the department will devise, and you'll keep us posted so that we're aware of that too?
That's correct, yes. And like I said, I think how this will, I mean, traditionally we put a lot of weight in the Conservation Reserve Program to provide wildlife habitat. And this Farm Bill, it's CRP's still there. It's still going to help us maintain what level of habitat CRP has provided. But we can't count on it to add a lot more wildlife habitat and things like the increased funding for that regional conservation partnership program. We're gonna have to start depending on that more and developing more partnerships with a broad array of groups and interests in habitat and ag productivity to create funding and programs to put more habitat on the ground.
Do we have a sense of how many people are on a waiting list, if you will, for CRP and are unable to get in it because there's not enough authorized or not enough funding, or maybe we don't know?
We don't have a number of landowners waiting. We know from discussions our private lands biologists and farm biologists have had that there is a lot of interest to put land in conservation. And I feel whatever acreage is given to South Dakota to enroll will very quickly be enrolled, and I don't think we'll have any trouble spending any federal Farm Bill money to put habitat on South Dakota's landscape.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Tom Kirschman, Deputy Director of Wildlife Division, just want to add to your first question about the Second Century Initiative that Governor Noem mentioned in the State of the State Address. From an agency standpoint, we are looking right now and brainstorming and looking at all available habitat programs. And what can we do short term, what can we do long term, and actually putting together a briefing on those particular types of programs that are in existence right now and any potential new ones that we could develop. Part of that is going to be, as Mark's been talking about through this whole presentation, is number one, maximize those opportunities that exist in the new Farm Bill, and in particular the RCPP, which does call for partnerships. And we have a lot of existing partners, but through our forums and other things and discussions that have been going on, we have the real potential right now to expand our partnerships to come in and do more habitat programs. Just our simple discussion with the agricultural forum that we held back in December in Sioux Falls, there was a lot of excitement and enthusiasm about the soil health and protection program that Senator Thune has initiated as part of the Farm Bill. There's a lot of excitement about working lands. There's a lot of excitement about how do we address some of these marginal acres, take them out of production, be part of conservation programs. Opportunities are endless. Now we just need to pull it all together and find those cooperative and collaborative efforts to make these things happen. So we will be putting together a laundry list of programs, ideas. Some of these we'll have to identify funding sources. Some can be implemented soon. Others are going to take a little bit more time. Finding those partners, putting them together, but we're going to maximize all of our opportunities out there.
You know, and as we commented yesterday, I know the commission very much wants to be helpful where we can, whether it's as a group or individually or writing letters like we've done in the past. I mean, whatever we can do, however we can do it in a smart way, I know we want to do that. So please don't be shy about asking.
Mr. Chairman, we will not be shy. And certainly you can probably anticipate almost monthly discussions about where we're going, things that we're putting together for habitat at your monthly commission meetings, and keep you informed as we progress on these happenings and new programs.
Thanks. Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Locken.
Just a quick little comment. We have a newly acquired piece of land on our farm, and it's complicated. To figure out all of this stuff, and it happens that the retired NRCS head of the NRCS in Brown County does a little hunting on our place, and I said, why don't you keep an eye on that stuff for me? You know, because programs come and go. It's constantly changing, and some things are available one day, and it's not available the next day. And we'd like to do something with some of the marginal acres on that property. And just a point that it's hard to keep track of it. It's an education thing.
Mr. Chairman, it's a great point, Commissioner Locken, and we're going to do our best to continue to inform producers, landowners out there of these new options, new programs, new directions they may or may not be taking, and so people can be as informed as possible. One last thing that I failed to mention in my previous comments is a lot of these programs we're going to look at to complement and be part of this Every Acre Counts project that we're working with South Dakota State University on and those many partners. And the other key part to this, and we've already initiated those discussions, is how we as our agency can collaborate even at a higher level with South Dakota Department of Agriculture and making these happen as well. We in fact had a meeting just the other day with the new Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary Veneman, had a great discussion about habitat, highly excited and enthused about this, and I think collectively we can make a lot of great strides and make some new things happen in the state under this overall initiative from our new governor. So look forward to those opportunities. Again, we'll keep you updated as we move forward in those programs.
Jensen.
Mary Jensen. So from all you presented there, Mark and Tom, on the big picture, so the new farm bill is good for South Dakota game fishing parks, potential for probably more money, would you say, to commit to habitat and conservation. So overall, it's a really good thing for the state.
Absolutely. It's definitely a good opportunity for the state to provide, bring more funding to South Dakota for wildlife habitat. Yeah, I mean, without the farm bill, we're sitting wondering what we're going to do. So it's definitely a big deal that it's accomplished and now providing more funding again.
Great.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Peterson.
Yeah, Commissioner Peterson, also through the Habitat Pays website, maybe you can put some of the farm bill information, and someone commented that they're working at finding a way to make that easier to get to navigate to that site on the department's website. So it's a good starting point to add additional information to that one too.
Commissioner Peterson, as the farm bill new rules get promulgated and put in place, and we know the final details, we will certainly add those components to Habitat Pays, as well as using Habitat Pays to garner ideas and suggestions from the public also about new habitat approaches that maybe we haven't thought of or haven't tried yet. So that it'll serve multiple purposes.
Other questions or comments? Good report. Thank you.
Thank you.